What should we continue to share about the red heifer? The further ingredients of the water of purification. First, I have a question and maybe you can help me. Why are all other sacrifices male, but this red heifer is female? So, who answers? Because female means it produces life. The Lord did not just come as a sin offering for us. Remember, He said, I came to give you life and give you life abundantly. This is greater and more wonderful. This is the goal. The more wonderful goal of the coming of the Lord. Because our problem is not only death, sin, but also death. To take sin away, we need a sin offering. See the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. That was wonderful. But think about it, what Paul said. If Christ had not risen, then we are still dead in our sin and trespasses. So what is more important, sin offering or the red heifer? That's why it says in Hebrews, the sin offering takes our sins away in Hebrews 9 and 10. And the whole book of Hebrews and also 1 John 1, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And when we're all so pure but dead, what does it help? A pure dead person. So, we need life. Many Christians, they're saved and forgiven. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Look at the church in Sardis. Are they not saved? They have no forgiveness of sins? Of course they have. Forgiven is forgiven. Cleansed. But it's a dead church. Do you want to be a saved, dead church? You want to be such a church? You want to be such a church? Everyone is saved, born again. And we think we are alive, but the Lord said, you are dead. It's so important. Important that we have this red heifer. That's why in Hebrews 9:14, that this red cow mingled with the water of life. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit. So It should purify some dead works to serve the living God. Do you think God wants to be served by the dead? The living God has nothing to do with death. He has destroyed the death, and he destroyed him who has the power of death. And this is in Hebrews 2. He did not only take sin away, but he who has the power of death, he destroyed him. He got him out of the way. In Revelation 1, we see, now this wonderful great high priest has the keys of Hades and of death. He says, behold, I was dead, but I'm alive again, and alive again. And he's alive from eternity to eternity. The death has no power over him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful work of our Lord Jesus Christ, of his power of resurrection? Never before the world has ever seen, experienced, how ever anyone raised from the dead. Of course, when Jesus raised from the dead, many others also for a short time raised from the dead too, but they died again. But the Lord raised and is alive from eternity to eternity. Lazarus rose from the dead, but only for a short time. He fell asleep again. So this wonderful life, the power of his resurrection, how Ephesians 1 says, it is a surpassing great power that raised Christ from the dead. It is a exceedingly great power that raised Christ from the dead. I think we cannot really understand this. Because we partially still live in death today. We have the knowledge about the exceeding greatness of his power, what Paul was speaking about. But for us, it's just a knowledge, it's just a verse, a wonderful verse. But not a wonderful power. That's why we're all still so weak and still have so many troubles and problems with death and cannot overcome. Then we still live like Paul wrote. We live like in Romans 7. That's why we feel many times so miserable. We are not enabled to fully obey God. We still have so much of our own. We live in the flesh, in ourselves. Still love the world, and so on. These are all signs of death. And disobedience. We don't want to be disobedient. Who of us wants to be disobedient? Toby, you want to be disobedient? Does it mean you're always obedient? It would be nice. I believe we all have the same answer. It would be nice if we were fully obedient. But what's the trouble? You always wanted to obey, right? Then why are we disobedient? Without strength, like Paul said in Romans 7, because death is still effective in us, still works in us, because we do not know this red heifer, we don't know the ashes of the red heifer. We speak about a spirit that gives life, but in the situation we are in, we forget the life. When we are insulted at home, when you are offended, husband and wife are both believing. But why is there still arguing and content? And without unity. And everyone wants to vindicate himself. And then there are arguments. Not just in the family, also in the church. Why are there still so many problems in the church? Problems that come out of nothing. In the past, I said many times in quotations, as a joke, I said, God made everything out of nothing. And we also can do a lot out of nothing. Oh God, not good. And most of the time, if we do something out of nothing, it is negative, it is dead. Out of our own concept, misunderstanding. Out of nothing, we make it a big thing and a big problem. And at the end, there's destruction and death. And we still think we're right. And we do not repent. When I think that I'm right, why do I have to repent? Why do I have to ask for forgiveness? We see how terrible death is in us believers. There are so many problems among us Christians, among us believers, among us. Big problems are among us. Big problems, like the people of Israel. We would think, and we are still thinking, oh, they came out of Egypt, saved out the big problem. At least when they were in Egypt, they stayed alive, but at the end, they all died in the wilderness. All saved, we're all saved, born again. And then what? How did it continue? So that's why the teaching of the ground of oneness doesn't work. At the end, the ground became the pit. Then people think, I'm against the unity. Are we against unity?
Funktioniert der
does the ground of the church work? You think the ground of the church can make us one? That would be really easy. But in the last 60 years of my life, I've always seen great problems, difficulties, and fighting on the ground of unity, the ground of locality. And even though it was dead, I cannot go away because this is the ground of unity, ground of oneness. I have to stay there. Unity of death. What does it help to have a unity of death? If a man is dead, can his body still keep unity? Is that way? Is Christian there? Yes, I'm there. I'm just translating.
Can a toter Mensch die Einheit seines Leibes erhalten?
Can a dead man keep the unity of his body? It is impossible. Like dead bones. Can the dead bones in Ezekiel keep their unity among themselves? All dead bones want to keep their unity among themselves. Can you imagine that? How can they succeed to do that? No. We need a spirit of life, the reality, not the teaching, not the knowledge of the Bible. Remember what the Lord said in John 5, you search the scriptures. Because you're thinking that you can have life in them. And the scripture testifies of me. That's what the Lord said. But you don't want to come to me that you have life. The reality of life is Jesus Christ. Christ, our life. If this life is missing, I don't care how good the teaching is, it doesn't work. Amen. You have a name that you are life, but you are dead. That's what the Lord said to Sardis. So, we need the reality of the red heifer. That's why the red heifer is female. Because the Lord came to give us life. Can you imagine? The Lord takes sin away, nailed on the cross, and stays in the tomb. What do you think? What do we have from that? What will be that good for? Everyone loves the cross, but the Lord is on the throne today. The Lord was dead, but only 27 hours. He wasn't long very dead. Then he raised again. And he rose again, even though Mary came early in the morning, on the third day, went to the tomb, but the Lord was already no more there. He already had left the tomb. The tomb was already empty. Isn't that better? Then the Lord is only on the cross and stays there till the day? Do you want to see the Lord stays on the cross? The Lord is not there anymore. The angel said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead?" The angel said. He wasn't there anymore. He raised from the dead. This is the miracle of all miracles. He is the first fruit. That's why we are not just enjoying the Passover feast, but the feast of first fruits. Isn't that much better? Much better. What do you want? Do you want a dead Christ or a living Christ? Tony, what do you want? What do you like more, Tony? Of course. If you had a choice, you want a living Christ, but he has to go through death for our sake, because we ate the wrong tree. But then he has to rise again to give us life. This is the secret, the mystery. So the Lord does not have only to be a sin offering, even though he's so strong, but the red heifer. Is not as strong as a bull, but it's perfect. Blameless. This blameless. The red heifer has to be blameless. And the Lord was blameless. Can we read this again? Lord Jesus Christ. Numbers 19, verse 2. Just a moment, he has to look for the German Bible. Verse 2, this is the ordinance of the law. This is the first time the red heifer is actually mentioned. The red heifer. In Leviticus, the Lord did not mention the red heifer. But here he mentioned the red heifer the first time. A blameless animal. A red heifer without blemish, in which there's no defect, on which a yoke has never come. This is the condition. Blemish, without, fully red. It's hard to find a red heifer to be fully red. Not even one hair of this cow has a different color. Where do you find such a cow? Where do you find such a heifer? Who is without sin? Did the Lord not say that in John 8? He who is without sin should take the first stone and throw on this woman. And who was without sin? All that attacked this woman and accused her. Yes, we found her doing sin, committing sin. And they want to kill her and stone her. They were so self-righteous. But when the Lord asked that question, he who among you is without sin, please take the first stone and stone this woman. What had happened? One after the other, starting with the oldest ones till the youngest, because the oldest, those who are the oldest, they're the smartest. They know that in this life they have done so many sins, maybe worse than this woman. One after the other left. The only one that did not walk away was Jesus. Why? He was the only one who had no sin. Sin was not in him. He was blameless. That we need to enjoy. That we have to appreciate. Are you blameless? Am I blameless? Is any one of us blameless? If not, why are we so quick to point the finger at the others? Accuse others. Other to judge others. A dead judges the dead. Do you think the judge that sits on the judgment seat is more righteous than the sinner that stands in front of him? Look what's happening today in the USA. These judges, Lord Jesus Christ, they are so fallen, evil, corrupt, terrible. And they want to judge a man who's more righteous than they are. Did you read it in newspapers? That's how the judges are today. And that's how we all are. A sinner, maybe even the greater sinner, judges the other sinner who was not as bad as him. And judges him, condemns him to death, death sentence. Do you think we don't do that in the church? Only the Lord is blameless. In all ways, he was tempted and did not sin. With us, and the temptation comes, then we're flat on our nose, flat down, nose blunt, face blunt, but not before the Lord. The Lord was a blameless red heifer, faithful unto death, the only one who had no sin. He was the only one who could say, who among you can show me one sin? He did only good. In any case, praise God, the Lord is so qualified to beat his red heifer. And not even hair is with a different color. This red heifer is full of life. Many said, the red color shows his blood. No, his blood is different. Blood is on the inside, but the red color was on the outside. This red color shows the life. For blood does not only show redemption. The red blood you don't see unless you're bleeding, but the red color, this hair, this fur of the red heifer, you can see not even one hair has a different color. This is unimaginable. That's why for 2,000 years they couldn't find one red heifer. But now, praise God, the Lord has prepared it. Now they found one. Let's not stay too long in this point. It is really so wonderful. I cannot move away from this point. I appreciate so much that the Lord, our Lord, has no sin, because we all are full of sin. He who did not know sin became sin for our sake. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says it so clearly. That's why he's qualified to become our sin offering. And then, and no defect. He was perfect. He was really perfect. Who among us is perfect, has no defect? No one of us. Nobody. Blameless means that in his humanity, he was a perfect man. It does not only mean that he did not sin. It means in every aspect, he has no shortcoming in everything. Maybe for a few days you didn't do anything evil and sinful, but you're a little bit lazy, no mood to do anything for the Lord. Oh, I'm too tired to read the Bible. I got no time to pray. But you got time for so many other things. We got so much shortcomings, so many. And you read the Word of God in the morning and the evening, you don't know anymore what you read. Don't you have such a lack? On Sunday, you go to the meeting, and the evening, you forgot what was spoken in the meeting. And if someone asks you, oh, please, Sharon, can you share with me what was spoken this morning in the meeting? Then you will think, oh, we already forgot. We got so much lack. Thousands of lacks. We're full of defects. That's why we need to really appreciate and enjoy this wonderful, perfect humanity of Christ. If we only do a little bit, we become so proud and we think, oh, we're already pretty good. Who among us is really humble? The Lord humbled himself. And then he continues, on which no yoke has never come. What is a yoke? Toby, what is a yoke? Why does the animal need a yoke? Can you please help me? Describe it. It's a yoke is a bar of wood that can be around the neck that they can work on the field. With a yoke, they're bound together, otherwise everyone goes his way. Everyone goes his way, that's how we are. Everyone does what he wants, everyone thinks what he wants, everyone does what he wants, what is right in his own eyes. That means no one is obedient, everyone is disobedient. Everyone is disobedient, cannot obey. That's why an animal has to carry this yoke, that it can be steered. Does the Lord need a yoke? To obey the Father? What does Hebrews say? A body you have given me with a yoke, and behold, I come to do your will. Is it written like that? It's said in Hebrews, to do your will is my pleasure without a yoke. Did you ever see a child? 1, 2, 5 years old? That was so obedient. Manuel, were you so obedient with 2 or 3 years or 5 years or 10 years old? Were you so obedient? No one of us was obedient. We were born in sin, disobedient. But the Lord didn't need a yoke. Behold, I have come to do your will. When he was 12 years old, he was obedient. He was busy in the work of his father. Do you know such a wonderful red heifer? Why are we so disobedient? Because death works in us, rules and reigns in us. We have no strength to obey. But in contrary, we do what we want to do. Why should you tell me what I should do? They remember what the Lord told them before they went into the good land. From this time on, none of you should do what is right in his own eyes. Deuteronomy 12:5. No one of you should do what is right in his own eyes. This is our dead habit. I do what I want, and who are you to tell me what I should do? Deuteronomy 12:8. It's 12:8. What an attitude is that? This is the attitude of a dead person, spiritually dead. What does Hebrews 4? They did not enter the good land in the rest. Why? Well, because of disobedience, disbelief, unbelief. Unbelief means disobedience. Why do I not believe? Because I'm disobedient. What's wrong with the true worship in John 4? Roland, is he there?
Yes.
Don't you believe in John 4:23-24? No, I believe in it 100%. 100%. Why do so many not believe it? It's a mystery. It's a mystery of death. This is the mystery. On the red heifer, no yoke has come upon him, because the Lord doesn't need that. Me, I have to be restrained, like James said, our tongue. Who can restrain our tongue? Can anyone tame our tongue? So the tongue is like a flame of fire. If you light a candle and you see the fire, think of your own tongue. Because it can kindle a fire. You will set the whole church on fire. Oh God. A yoke. If we are full of his life, we don't need a yoke. But when we have a lack of life, even 10 yokes cannot tame us, cannot control us and hold us back. No, our will is so strong. A yoke is worthless to hold us back. Oh, my Lord, such a red heifer we have to enjoy. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. Your life, that's why it says in Romans 5:10, even though we are saved and reconciled with God through death, how much more shall we be saved by his life? His life is a continuation of his death. Forgiveness is not good enough. Oh, how often I needed forgiveness and experienced it, but my life stays the same. The real salvation through life change brings in transformation. That is really the full salvation to the uttermost, the transformation. After so many years, do we see transformation? I mean in our own life, not in the other one, in my own life. Oh Lord Jesus, the question was, Toby wrote me, the first point is, why should be this red heifer fully consumed, even the dung? Why? What do you do with all the trash in your house? Do you want to keep a part of the trash that still looks good in your home? You want to do that? What do you do with your trash at home? Away. Cast it out. No recycling. In German, you also say recycling. Such a word is universal. Everyone understands. We do a recycling. You still appreciate a part of your being. Oh, I'm still good. Oh, I'm not that bad. I even treasure this and appreciate it. Even your dung, you still appreciate your dunghill. Which part in our being is still good, not infected by death, in your mind, your feeling, your emotion, your will? Is it so alive, so obedient, not corrupt, not infected with death? Our heart, what does Jeremiah say about our heart? What does Jeremiah say about our heart, Philip? Jeremiah 17. It is unhealable, incurable. It's worse than anything else. Or do you think, oh, it's not that bad? It is not so grievous. It's still okay. I can still keep a part of it. We appreciate partially ourselves. The world is not just the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, but is the pride of life. You think you're not that bad, you're successful. Better than the others. I'm a little bit better. The elders think they are elders. And then you think, oh, why should they only speak through Moses and Aaron? Then you become like a Korah. We are also priests. And Miriam also. I'm the older sister of Moses. When Moses was a baby, I took care of him. Why should I always listen to Moses? He should listen to me now. The whole people was complaining. They forgot that he took them out of Egypt on eagle wings. They forgot that he was dividing the Red Sea, that they could walk over it on dry land. They forgot everything. At the end, so many of the first generation and they entered a good land, only two. Everything that has to do with this red heifer has to be burned. It has to be burned. The Lord was without blame, so he is qualified, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, that he who was without sin became sin for us. He who was so righteous became unrighteousness and died for our sake, that we can become the righteousness of God. Such verses are really to appreciate. This righteous one has become sin for us. Do you think it was easy when the Lord was on the cross and the whole sin of the world was laid on the Son? Do you think that was easy? The sin of the whole world. He's not just the propitiation of our sin, of the believers, but for the sins of the whole world. Do you think that was easy? Is every one of us ready and willing to do that? Not the whole sin, but a few sins? Are we willing to do that? Not even a few sins we are willing to bear of the saints. Of your wife, of your husband. What do we expect from the brothers in the church, that they are perfect? Are you so perfect as Jesus is? No. We have to treasure the red heifer. It is not about a teaching, it's a vision. We have to see it and experience it ourselves. And you cannot appreciate if you do not see your own situation in his life. You see the splinter in the eye of the other one, but you don't see the beam in your own eye. So the whole heifer, everything. Verse 5. The cow, the heifer, shall be burned in the eyes of Eleazar, its height, its flesh, its blood, its offal shall be burned. When sin came into our flesh and the death went in right through and rules over all people, that's why all people are dead. Death infects every part of our being, our eyes, our ears. Why do we hear so many things but not the word of God? Why do you have a desire and a lust to see many things and it draws you, but the heavenly vision does not draw you so much? This is death. We're infected. Your tongue speaks so many things. You spread death through your mouth. Lies. So much exaggeration, so much evil. So much evil comes out of our tongue. Our heart thinks about so many evil things. Jealousy, envy. Paul gave us a long list. We are all guilty. But unfortunately, we only see the guilt in the others and not our own. What did the Lord say to the Pharisees and to the scribes? You were sieving out the fly. You were sieving out the fly. I forgot many German words. But you swallow the camel. Isn't that our experience? You strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. So the cow, before his eyes of Eleazar, as a priest, he should see. Because many things we do not see. Ourself, we do not see. We just see the others and other things with our eyes. But my own self, I don't see with my eyes. And even if you look in the mirror, you only see your skin. But the heart is only searched by God. Only God knows what's hidden in your heart. Praise the Lord. I hope that answers your question. Why should the whole red heifer, including the dung, should all be burned? All dung stinks. And only your own does not stink. At least not that much. Oh, Lord Jesus. The Lord have mercy on us. We have to learn much of this red heifer. That's why it says in Hebrews 9:14, this red heifer, this ashes, cleanses our conscience. It cleanses us from dead works. Otherwise, all the works that we're doing are dead works without life. We think it's good. We think it's good. But God says it's dead. And everything has to be reduced to ashes. You know, if it's not burned but just rotting down on itself, you will see many worms, and then the vultures will come and eat the meat. And it falls apart. But if everything is burned to ashes, these ashes you can keep. Even for 1,000 years, if it's not all used up. Can you imagine that? We have so much to speak about that, but we don't have to speak about everything. Otherwise, we have no time anymore to come to the third point. Any case, the Lord has to open our eyes. We don't have to know everything. Praise the Lord. What the Lord did is eternal. Especially this red heifer. One red heifer burned one time. The power, the effectiveness of this, it works for such a long time. Because you don't need so much of the ashes to mingle with the living water. Because it's the spirit that gives life. And it's mingled. And then sprinkled. And then the uncleanness of death is washed away. You can keep these ashes. Through the one-time death of the Lord. He doesn't have to die multiple times. Otherwise, you have to find a red heifer every week. You cannot find a red heifer every week. It's impossible. Daily red heifer, that's impossible. Once and for all, says Hebrews 10. Otherwise, the Lord has to die every day on the cross. That is impossible. Once for all. It's impossible to get the Lord down from the cross and crucify him again. That why many misunderstood Hebrews 6, where it says that you cannot crucify the Son of God again for yourself. But let's continue to the next point. What's your next point? Now verse 6, Numbers 19:6. A priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop. Hyssop, yeah. And scarlet. and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. So while the heifer was burning, these three ingredients, should be thrown into the fire. These three ingredients are not mentioned here the first time, but already in Leviticus. But in the cleansing of leprosy, if someone has leprosy, someone is a leper, he has to be cleansed. And these three parts, ingredients, are very important for cleansing of leper, of leprosy. Someone has leprosy. Exactly those three ingredients. Many years ago, we talked about this. A cleansing of the leprous people. But we all forgot it. We think the others are leprous. We are fine. We're not leprous. It's always like that. Always that way. Cedar wood and hyssop. I think it's written in 1 Kings. Let's go to Leviticus 14, verse 6. Leviticus 14, verse 6. Not so easy. Verse 6 talks about that you need two living birds, but let's not talk about this. It said he shall take the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop. Those three, they have a real big meaning, an important meaning. Cedar wood. In the Bible, it's described in the Bible as the best wood of Lebanon. The wood that is used for the building of the temple. It's important for the building up of the temple. It shows the perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are no worms in that wood. Worm free. It cannot corrupt so quickly. A woodworm cannot corrupt that wood. And the cedar is so straight, it just goes right into the sky. The Lord came down from the heavens. The last Adam, the second man, he came from where? He came from the heavens. We are all earthy. The Lord comes from the bosom of the Father, and his humanity was perfect, without sin. Our humanity is from the earth. We are full of worms, but you don't see it. But if someone dies, then the worms come out.
Seele Holz. Und Seele Holz hat
Cedar wood.
Diese Wirkung gegen
it has this power against decay, against being rotten. If a man dies immediately, within 2 days, already after 24, 27 hours, then it's like the Father said about over the Son, your Holy One will not see corruption. A body of man starts to see corruption after about 26 hours, 28 hours. God will not let His Son, Jesus, see this as corruption. In the humanity of Christ, there's no corruption. Death brings incorruption. So before corruption could come into his body, the Lord already rose from the dead. Or Lazarus, he was already stinking. Martha already said to the Lord, Lord, he stinks already. But the Lord, by his resurrection, because he is the resurrection. Why does he have to be the resurrection? Because we are all dead. We all ate of the wrong tree. And he who ate of it, he has to die. He has to die the death. He eats of the wrong tree. Actually, we are all stinking already. That's why. What do people use? Perfume. To cover up the stinky smell, people use perfume. People use perfume. We think perfume was French. Why do you use perfume? It really covers our stinky smell. Cedar wood prevents corruption. The Lord is a resurrection. He has not seen corruption. His humanity is like cedar wood. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord said, you are all from the earth, but I came down from heaven. In him there's no sin, no mistake. And then what else is there? There's also Usop. Where does Usop grow? It's not a very high plant, it's actually quite low.
Ich habe hier einen Vers
First King 4:33. What does it speak about Esau? Let's see, read that. Also, he spoke of the trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. On one side, the Lord was so high. He comes from the heavens. The Lord humbled himself, not just to be a man, but even to be a slave. The Lord became a slave. So low. We are not like that. We all think we're so high, so great. We are so low, full of leprosy. We are all full of leprosy. And the Lord, he had the form of flesh. For our sake, he took on the form of flesh. But he emptied himself. He humbled himself. We are all so proud. We all think, oh, I'm better than you. Everyone thinks that way. The brothers think that way, and the sisters also think that way. That's why Paul said the sisters should be quiet in the church. That means they shouldn't be totally quiet, but they should not teach. They should not execute authority in the church. And then there are so many troubles in the church. What is more important, the husband or the wife?
Okay.
Who has more impact, Adam or Eve? She said Eve, so dear sister, don't be like Eve. The Lord said, I'm a worm. I'm not a man. I became a worm. He even became a slave. And obedient unto death. He was so obedient. Even at the end, at the death on the cross, he said, let this cup go by. But he said, not my will be done, but your will be done. What a man. Such a man can heal our rebellion, our disobedient nature, our leprous nature. Like Miriam, she had leprosy. King Uzziah had got leprosy. He thought he is king, he can just go into the most holy place. And then he wanted to be like Nadab and Abihu and just offer up incense as a king. Then he thought, well, why can only the priesthood? I also want to do it. I'm the king. But the Lord did not even wait a second with him. He got leprosy. Don't you think we are the same? Especially those who think they have authority in the church, be careful. Those are the ones who get leprosy the fastest. I am the apostle. I'm the representative authority of Christ on the earth. I'm the elder. I am responsible for the church. Everyone should listen to me. Brothers, don't think that I'd just like to talk about this. No, I want to remind you, from the beginning to the end, we see this again and again. From Genesis 1 to the book of Revelation, we see Jezebel. From Jezebel, then Balaam. The Bible always warned us not to go that path. And we always have to be reminded of this, that we don't repeat the same things. Don't think you will never do that mistake again. Oh, I've seen people repeating that mistake. The last 60 years, it happened again and again. Without Hyssop, the Lord who humbled himself so much. And Hebrews 5 says, he learned obedience by screaming out to God. Through many things that he suffered, he learned obedience. He is this Hyssop to cleanse our rebellion. Every one of us has this problem. That's what we see in the world. Also among us believers, we see that. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, we need that. These ingredients for the red heifer are very important. Otherwise it doesn't work. And cedar wood conserves this red heifer from corruption. That's why all these food industry adds conservatives to the food so that the food does not corrupt. Otherwise, it is organic, and without conservation ingredient, it will become unedible. After a while, you cannot eat it anymore. It corrupts. You have to throw it into the trash. Praise God. For such a wonderful red heifer, but not just the red heifer, but also the ashes. The ashes already has conservatives, the cedar wood. And it's wonderful. And scarlet. You know, if someone has leprosy, the whole skin a healthy skin is usually a little bit reddish. But when you have leprosy, it turns white as snow. This scarlet restores the life. It's against death. We need life. It's why the last Adam in resurrection became the life-giving spirit. This is this wonderful scarlet. To live for me is Christ. Not just forgiveness, but for me to live is Christ. So many people have forgiveness and are cleansed, but don't live Christ without life. They don't come to Christ for life. Life does not come through Bible reading. Otherwise, the scribes and the Pharisees would have been so living in those days. The Lord said, come to me that you will have life. If you want to have life, you have to come to Him daily, all the time. Not just to the Bible. The letter kills, Paul says. But the Spirit gives life. The ministry of the new covenant is not the teaching and the interpretation of the Bible and the good knowledge, but it is the Spirit that gives life. Why? Why they're all dead through good messages? Why that? Even our message now, it cannot give life if you yourself do not go to the Lord. The best message does not work if those who listen don't go to the Lord, if they don't mingle with the spirit of faith. Otherwise, the letter mingled with death is equal death. But there's truth mingled with the spirit of life is equal, spirit of faith is equal life. Which equation do you want? Letter mingling with death? Which equation do you want? Or do you want to mix the truth with the spirit of faith and have life? Time's up. I think it's good enough. I think you're all hungry for lunch. We all had our dinner. We have 10 more minutes. Too much is not good. I think that's good enough. You have to bring everything to the Lord. This really matters. Use these 10 minutes to pray to the Lord and bring it to Him. Amen. Praise God. The Lord be with your spirit. See you soon again. Bye-bye. Praise God.